Praise God, praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Continuing tonight with our restoration series. Amen. Now, every one of these lessons, and there's some that are collecting them. I hope you are. I hope you'll, rather than just throw it in a trash can, that you keep it and eventually you'll read it again. And I think it will help you, amen, to live for God. In fact, every one of these lessons, I believe, are written, intended to help us with our human side of our spiritual walk to live for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good, good stuff. In fact, my wife and I were talking about this, the sessions at home last night, and you know, I'm preparing for teaching tonight, and she made the comment, my wife made the comment, well, you know, there's so much good stuff, you don't want to skip over it, and then there's, you could add so much stuff, but then you're, I don't know how to do it. We'll just go through it, and if somebody wants to intervene, or if I say some other comment, then praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, we'll do it. And, but it's good stuff. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you. Even as we look again into the restoration series, Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon us to understand, Lord, this lesson of dominion over self, Satan, and sin. Lord, I pray your hand to be with us tonight. Lord, your will to be done even within us. Thank you, God, for your favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Dominion over self, Satan, and sin. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1 is where we're taking our first text from, beginning at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. From the beginning, when God created mankind, it was his intention, it was his declared purpose to have man be the dominion. Amen. You look at our dictionary, the World Book Dictionary defines dominion as dominance or power through legal authority. Sovereignty, control, to take charge, to be in control. Would anybody like to have dominion over Satan? Amen. Over, get this now, this is hard. This is a hard one. See if I get any amens on this one. Over self? That's a hard one, by the way. Over Satan and sin. Praise the Lord. In our text, Genesis 1:26, did God direct man through Abraham to take dominion over the fish, fowl, and the field? Yes, of course, God gave mankind dominion. It's God's intention. It's his will. It's his purpose for us, mankind, to have dominion. The word dominion, it is in the Bible 62 times. many different places. God promised Jacob, who later became Israel, thou shalt have dominion over thine enemies. Joshua said in Judges 5 verse 13, the Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. David in Psalm 8 verses 5 and 6, for thou hast made man a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. God wants us to have dominion. God wants you as a Christian, as a Jesus-loving, apostolic, one God, baptized in Jesus' name, full of the Holy Ghost person, to have dominion. Praise the Lord. There are many similar Old Testament references. Like we referenced, there were 62 places. I'm not reading all of them, of course. The Old Testament references where the word dominion is used in reference to mankind having dominion over the earth, over the enemies, and even over nations, etc. In the New Testament, however, the word dominion changes focus. In the New Testament, believers are taught to take charge over their own lusts, over their desires, their direction, and their purpose. I tell you, it is God's will for us to have dominion there as well. The spiritual man, the person inside you, the spiritual person that is full of the Holy Ghost, is meant to have dominion. Most importantly, the New Testament teaches that we are to have dominion over our flesh, which is a very weak point in our society. You know, people want to do all kinds of wild, unruly, unholy, ungodly things. Even unclean, perverted things are presented as being good. They're presented as being acceptable. I'll tell you what, God wants us, our spiritual person, the part of you that's full of the Holy Ghost, amen, that real spiritual you, to have dominion over those things. Amen. That cannot affect my life because I have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because I choose to serve the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that we are not to allow sin to have control over our life. How many lives have been just totally corrupted because the sin that so easily besets them overtakes their life? You know, they drink too much, or they do this too much, or you could, you know, and it doesn't really have to be a thing. It doesn't have to be drugs. It doesn't have to be liquor or alcohol. You know, it could be things that the world would call good. It could be that you work so much that you give no time for your family or no time for God. You know, it could be that you take your hobby to an extreme. You know, we could put so many things in the category of we need to have dominion over it. Amen. Paul wrote in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. We are meant to be a spiritual powerhouse. We're meant, the Holy Ghost in us will deliver us from ourselves, from Satan, and from sin. Amen. Now, taking dominion over self, sin, or Satan and sin. We got to take dominion. The devil wants to hold on to it. The devil wants to keep on leading you in circles. The devil wants to keep distracting you away from the things of God. The devil wants to keep you away from the house of God. He wants to keep you from hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. But it's time to take dominion. Amen. We should acknowledge up front that we all encounter many spiritual enemies. Every one of us. Nobody is exempt from a spiritual attack. Adversaries. Agnostic, opposition, rivals, etc. The list could go on and on and on. But none of those are the most formidable opposition. The outside things, they are influential. They want to take your attention. They want to draw you away. Walt Kelly said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." It's so true. It's so true. Our own self is your own biggest enemy. It's you that can get you in more trouble than anybody else. The most formidable battle we fight is the battle we fight with right here. Put your finger right in the middle of your chest. Right? That's your biggest enemy right there. You are your biggest enemy. Amen. The most difficult enemy you will ever attempt to conquer is your own flesh. The hardest head we will ever encounter, and I've met a lot of hard heads, the hardest head is my own thinking, my own mind. Amen. We have not yet, nor will we ever, encounter a foe as formidable as your own self. Amen. Those are huge words. But it's absolutely, I don't know of a single case or an exception to this rule. Amen. Our own self is our biggest foe. Amen. There are four action steps required when taking dominion over self. We got to take these steps. We got to make a game plan. You got to live in forgiveness. Amen. Walk in faith. And get my thinking right. Now, let me pause here, just diverge from the text here. Before expanding on these actions, you know, we could try to do this all by ourselves, but almost certainly we will fail. It's so much better when we do it as a part of the body of Christ. You know, the church develops a plan to help people get in the church. It has a plan to help people live for God. It has a plan that we can help and draw people into that will help them understand who God is, the reality of His Word, the tactics of the enemy. Every one of these things we have a plan for in the church. Amen. We'll be more successful in doing it as a body of believers than we ever would trying to do it off on my own by myself. Amen. I am so glad that I am in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I thank God for this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, back to my text. To take dominion over self, step number one is make a game plan. First things first, you have to want to take dominion over your flesh. Seen a whole bunch of hands when I said that earlier. There are people here that want to take dominion over their flesh. That the spiritual man would win over the carnal man. Amen. Which specifically means taking dominion over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Ask and answer. Do you want to take dominion over your thinking? Ask yourself that. Do you really want to take control over your thinking? Over your desires? Do you want to take control of that portion of your life? Do you want to take dominion over your actions? You have to ask yourself. Do you want to take dominion over your priorities? It's so easy in this world to have your priorities out of order. I want God's help to put things in order in my life. Amen. It's so much better when we do things God's way than if we do things man's way. Amen. How about even, you want to take dominion over your attitudes? Everybody's got one. Be it good or be it bad, everybody's got one. But I want to have a godly attitude. Amen. I want to take dominion over that area of my life. Once we know we want to take dominion, then we need to have a plan in place for actually taking dominion. Here are some questions we should ask ourselves. Again, this is for your own self. Ask your own self, what areas do I need to work on? I pause here because I want you to think about that. What areas do I, and you can point at yourself, do I need to work on? What specific area do I need to work on first? How do I plan to work on it? Who can help me work on it? What resources can I utilize? For a life-changing game plan to be successful, it must also include four specific strategies. Number one, change your habits. You got it? Little changes will make a huge, big difference in this area. Pause here for just a moment. When I was BC, before my coming back to Jesus Christ, I was a backslidden apostolic, backslidden Pentecostal. I could envision myself back in church. I knew where I needed to be. I knew what the apostolic church was like. I had been filled with the Holy Ghost at 12 years old, and now I'm 20 years old, you know, and there's been a mess of junk go on in between there. But I knew I had to change my habits. Amen. It took me getting into church I had to create new habits. I had to give up my old habits so that I could put a priority on having new habits. Going to church on Sunday, morning and evening. Going to prayer meeting. Going to midweek service. Volunteering my time at church and doing extra things when no one else was looking. When I was there all by myself, I had to make time. It was for me to live for God. I did those things. Amen. I had to change my habits. Aristotle said, "We are the sum of our actions. Therefore, our habits make all the difference." Just because it's your habit doesn't mean you have to keep doing it. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can help us break habits. The Holy Ghost can give us new, good habits. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. You got to find a way to get good habits in your life, or it's going to be a drag on your walk with God. Your bad habits, if they hold on to you, will pull you into ungodly things. Bad things, those bad habits. Number two, separate from unhealthy influences. People, I had to get new friends. My drinking buddies wouldn't do anymore. I just couldn't hang with them anymore. I had to get new friends that did go to church. Amen. Social media, that's a big thing in our world today. Hobbies, what you watch, what you read, what you hear, it's all important stuff. You might think, oh, it's not important. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's important. A Spanish proverb, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Amen. What or who we allow as an influence in our life affects who we are and shapes who we will become. Amen. That's so true. It's so true. And number three, replace destructive habits and behavior with productive habits and behavior. I got to quit doing those old things. I got to start doing the new things. I got to start doing the godly things. I got to start doing the church things. I got to start being faithful to God. Amen. It made a huge difference in my life when I decided to leave one whole world, one whole part of me, one of my old friends, my old associates, my old places I would go, the old things I would do. I had to take myself out of that world and choose to put myself in the house of God, in a positive environment. Amen. Where I would hear the preaching, where I would hear the teaching, where I would have friends around me that also loved God, that would encourage me to worship and love the Lord. I had to put myself on purpose in that environment. Amen. Replace destructive habits and behaviors with productive habits and behavior. Here's, make your family a priority. Amen. It's hard. And I don't know that there's ever been a perfect parent. Not, count me out. I tried, did best I could, best I knew how. Even in serving the Lord, even in going to church faithfully, even in having a walk with God, it's still hard. But put your family high on that priority list. Be faithful to the house of God. Amen. You know, there's lots of other things that go on in our world. And you could be involved in a whole bunch of things that are not bad. They could be considered okay or even good. But it's not good for you, for me, if it pulls me out of the things of God. I want to place myself in the things of God. And whatever is contrary to that, it's a distraction. Be faithful to the house of God. Read and apply the Word of God. Make the Word the final authority. The Word of God is already true. It's up to me to believe what it says. Amen. I have to apply it to my life. Amen. And we have to pray. If you want to stay, you better pray. Amen. We got to pray. Amen. The fourth step is essential to our success. Here it is. Start right now. If you want to have dominion, start right now. Today, in this service, this very moment, start right now. Don't delay. Even small steps are fine. They're good. They'll help you to live for God. Take even small steps. But do start. Start today. And focus on one single change. Start right now. Amen. Second part here, number two. To take dominion over self, live, this is good advice right here, live in forgiveness. Man, we got to be able to forgive. God forgave me. Amen, of so much. I was so wrong. I was so off course. I was so in the wrong direction, and God forgave me. Amen. We must forgive. Live in forgiveness. Psalms 103, verses 2 to 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I tell you, every one of us, when we're on that worldly carnal path, we are on the road to destruction. I'm so glad I'm off that road, and I'm like, I am on the path to glory. I am on my way to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got to have a forgiveness. A forgiveness mindset. Accepting God's forgiveness is one of the essential keys to getting over the guilt of our past and taking dominion over the destructive habits of our present. Amen. Our world is consumed here. Our world is taken in by the devil. By the habits of our ungodly society. God can forgive anybody. The murderer can be saved. Amen. I tell you what, God, if you are breathing air, it is my belief that God can and will forgive you. Amen. You know, fear of your past haunts you and many times controls you in our world today. You know, we get hung up with what we say we are. You know what? God wants to give you dominion over who you are. Amen. God wants to give your spiritual man dominion over who you can and will become. Amen. Making meaningful life changes, they are more difficult, but they're possible in Jesus Christ. God can and will help us to make meaningful life changes. Amen. Forgiving others in the flesh, I may add, will seem nearly impossible. I'll give you a hard one. I knew a person in high school who killed my brother, murdered him, went to prison for murder. I had to forgive him. It's tough. My brother George got murdered by somebody that I knew from school. I had to. It wasn't an option. I have to forgive that person. Pray that that person would get right with God. That God would help them to be saved. I tell you, we cannot not forgive anybody. No matter what they've done. No matter how grievous the offense. We must forgive them. Close or far away. Don't know them at all or know them very closely. Doesn't matter. We must, as a child of God, live in forgiveness. If you continue to hate, that hate will eat you up from the inside. It will hinder your walk with God. Here's the question. Here in the lesson, I have a question for you. Is it possible that the blood of Christ is powerful enough to forgive every sin in the whole world except yours? No. God can forgive your sin also. Yes, He can. I agree. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number three. Take dominion over self. In essence, walk in faith. We got to walk this life. We got to live this life. We got to walk in this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. You see, faith is an essential element in taking dominion. Building the right kind of faith is a three-step process. Start with faith in God. We got to put Jesus first. Put Jesus at the top of the list. Get to know Him just as much as you can. Find Him in the Word. Find Him in prayer. Find Him in baptism. Find Him in your own forgiveness. Find Him in forgiving others. Put God first. Then, faith in the Word of God. We got to tell you what, the Word of God is powerful. It'll cut coming and going. Two edges on that sword. The sword of the Spirit. You know, the Word of God is sharp. Amen. It'll trim off that sin if you'll let it. Amen. The Word of God will strengthen you against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Trust God. Have faith in the Word. I tell you what, the Word is already established. You can put your finger on the page and cry out before God. Right here it says. Put your finger on the Word in the Bible. Have faith in the Word of God. The Word of God is true. We can trust that the Word of God is already established. Amen. And finally, have faith in the man of God. A quote here from Bishop Jack Cunningham. Faith is an essential element in taking dominion over self, sin, and Satan. Amen. Talking about faith in God. God cannot lie. Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God cannot lie. It's true because God said it. When God said it, it becomes true. Amen. God cannot be prejudiced. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." I'm telling you, we all can be saved. Amen. Doesn't matter where you came from, it matters where you're going to. God cannot break a promise. Psalm 89, verse 34. "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." I tell you, it's true because God said it. It's true. Amen. God cannot remember sins He chose to forget. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that You forgive and forget about that sin. Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for thine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Praise the Lord! Somebody ought to say, praise God! Praise God! Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise the Lord. God cannot stop loving you. He won't. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Because God loves you, He wants to draw you into His presence. Because God loves you, He heals your body. Because God loves you, He remits sin in Jesus' name, baptism. Because God loves you, He fills you with the Holy Ghost. He gives you His Spirit. He gives you everything that you need to be successful in living for God. Because He loves you. Praise the Lord. God cannot abandon you. Deuteronomy 31, verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord. God will not abandon you. God is for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God cannot stop thinking about you. Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Number two, faith in the Word of God. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is already established. Amen. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Interpretation, all of God's promises are guaranteed. They are already true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And number three, faith in the man of God. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Amen. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they might give they must give account. I take this portion of Scripture very, very, very seriously. God is going to hold me accountable for what I say to His people. Amen. And I must give an account for what I have said, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every one of us needs to make it to glory, to heaven, to the throne of the Most High God. Amen. And I don't say the things that I say, you know, to spite people. Oh, you need to stop doing that and that and that and that and that, and you got to start doing this and this and this. No, I just want to lead you. I want to follow Jesus Christ to the very best of my ability, and I hope somebody will follow me. I hope somebody will come along. I hope somebody will believe the word with me. I hope somebody will believe the preaching that I preach. I hope somebody will take the word home with them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I give you my word. It's the word of God that we need to believe. Amen. Walking in faith is the opposite of taking the position of criticisms, of fault finding, of mistrust, of challenging, of imagining. People have wild imaginations. Most of what you think might happen ain't going to happen. You need to trust Jesus. You need to trust what it says in the Word. Amen. Number four, take dominion over self. We got to think right. We must take dominion over our thought lives. Because that is where Satan attacks first. He's going to attack your mind. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus confronted listeners by suggesting that it wasn't merely important that people do right, but they also think right. I got to get my mind straightened up. Have I been brainwashed? I sure hope so. By the Holy Ghost. Let God wash my mind out. I want to be brainwashed by Jesus, by God, by the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Old Testament law forbids murder. That's plain to see. The New Testament teaches if a man hates in his heart, he has murdered already. The Old Testament law forbids adultery. The New Testament teaches if a man has lust in his heart, he has committed sin already. Taking it to a whole new level. Up here in our mind. We got to think right. We need God's help for that, by the way. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost to help us in that, my friend. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul writes about taking dominion over sexual immorality. Verse number 1 is a working definition of dominion. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. I tell you, we can get more and more and more of Jesus. You're never going to get too much of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul admonishes Christians that we should be consecrated, be separated, and set apart for pure and holy living. We should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice. We should know how to possess, control, manage your own body. Get this now, be separate from things profane. There is so much of our world that just uses profanity as normal speech. I tell you, God wants to help you to have dominion over that area. Amen. Not use your body in the passion of lust like the heathen. not transgress against your brother, not defraud one another. Amen. I tell you, God can and will give us dominion in these areas. We are empowered by the Holy Ghost to take dominion. There are four steps for taking control over thoughts and actions and habits. Ask for forgiveness. Determine that your actions will bring glory to God. Take control of your thinking. You can't stop the bird from flying over you, but you don't have to let them nest on your head. Remove temptations. You won't be able to remove them all. You're still going to be tempted. Remove as many as you can. We are empowered by the Holy Ghost to take dominion. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. This is the New King James Version reading of this. The Apostle Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Praise the Lord. Paul identified the four purposes of spiritual warfare: pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you find yourself thinking ungodly thoughts, the Holy Ghost has given you dominion to stop thinking about that. You don't have to dwell on it. The bird might fly over your head, but you can stop doing it. Now, take a moment, talk to yourself. Self, you and me are about to come to an understanding. Amen. You have to get a hold and take dominion over you. Amen. Weapons of our warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day." Amen. Matthew 16, verse 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Tell you what, God's given you dominion. Amen. We are at war, spiritual war. Make no mistake about it, spiritual warfare has been waged by hell against the church of the living God. More specifically, hell is at war with you. The forces of hell are out to destroy your soul, your family, your ministry, your church, anything and everything that is sacred. Satan wants to tear it down. Paul admonishes the church in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Don't be ignorant of the devices of Satan. The Apostle Paul describes spiritual warfare in alarming terms. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Tell you what, God has given you dominion. Paul's bottom line, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles, that word wiles, is the scheme or the trickery, the lie in wait that the devil has for you. Seven weapons to use in spiritual warfare. Seven weapons in 5 minutes. Here we go. The blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. This author, Jack Harold, says this about pleading the blood of Jesus. When we talk about pleading the blood of Jesus, we are not talking about begging. Pleading the blood should not be considered a desperation exercise. God has not called us to come begging before him. We believe that the cross was the instrument of global redemption, which broke the power of hell. Pleading the blood of Jesus is not the superstitious application of a magic formula of words. Rather, a spiritual dynamic is being applied. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ is greater than the energy in our own humanity. And that of our adversary. The power that saves is also the power that releases, delivers, neutralizes the enterprises of hell and the weaknesses of the flesh. The appropriation of the power of the blood in tough situations is intended for every believer in Christ to know, to understand, and employ. I've come to a few tough spots in my life where the only thing that I had time to say is Jesus. Amen. We can apply the blood, the name, the power of Jesus in our lives. Amen. And it's not begging. It's dominion. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Weapon number two, the word of our testimony. I'll tell you what, I've got a great testimony. God saved me, brought me a mighty long way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Tell you what, your testimony is powerful. Amen. Weapon number three, the name of Jesus. Mark 16, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. I'll tell you what, the name of Jesus will give you dominion. Weapon number four, the word of God. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written. Again, quote the word, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, these signs, or all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence. Pause right there. Don't ask the devil to follow you around. Get out of here, Satan. Leave. Get away from me. Get hence. Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The word of God will give you dominion. Number five, prayer and fasting. Mark 9, 25 to 29. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You really want God to do something great and special and pivotable? Pivotable? I don't know if I can even say that word. Pivotal. Pivotal. Thank you, my dear. Pray. Fast. And God will give you dominion. Amen. Weapon number six, angels. And the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Hebrews 12, verse 2. But ye are come into Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, I think I've heard and read in the Bible, of angels. There's a lot of them. Amen. Weapon number seven, the Holy Ghost. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. Greater, stand with me, would you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I'll tell you what, God has given us dominion. Would you thank him with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. God, you are worthy and wonderful. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us dominion, power in the Holy Ghost, in the presence of the Lord, in the Spirit of God, and in the Word. Lord, I thank you for the power, Lord, that is in your Word, that is in your name. Lord, that is in your Spirit, that is by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the power and the dominion, Lord, of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Lord, even power over self, power over Satan, and power over sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for it. In Jesus' precious name. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.